All content discussed on Hypochondriac are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.
I'm Dr. Priyanka Wally, medical doctor and stand-up comedian.
And I'm Sean Hayes, actor and hypochondriac. It's safe to say that I'm not America's first hypochondriac, but I am America's first hypochondriactor.
Hey, Sean.
Good morning, Priyanka.
Good morning. Sorry I was a little late. I was actually doing some stretches
This isn't going to end well.
No. It really, yeah, this is true. So the strangest thing happened to me last weekend. The reason I'm doing all these stretches. So my neck basically went into the sternocleidomastoid, which is one of your front neck muscles.
Okay, so let me be Dr. Priyanka for a second. So sterna means your sternum, comes from the Greek neck, and the whatever you said last, is Latin for ouch, this hurts. So something hurt in your neck. Yeah, keep going.
That is spot on, Sean. Very good, Dr. Hayes.
Thank you.
So I was having this conversation with someone, and it was a family member, and it ended up being like a really, really upsetting conversation. But in the conversation, I wasn't visibly upset, but internally, I was like going through turmoil, and in the middle of the conversation, my neck went into like acute spasm, and I was
really
like, ow, you know, and I kind of kept it together for the conversation. And then as soon as the conversation ended, I was like, oh my God.
You didn't want to interrupt the heavy conversation oh my God, I'm having a spasm.
No, it wouldn't have been like appropriate to be like, excuse me one second while I like go deal with this.
Whereas I would have completely been
would
like
you
that.
Have stopped the conversation?
Oh, 1,000%. I have to go to the bathroom. My neck hurts. It's having a spasm.
Okay,
whatever it is.
I need to learn from you. I swear. I should have done that. I didn't realize how upset I was. It dawned on me later like, oh my God, that was a really intense conversation I had. And I should have been, I just didn't have that self-awareness. And so my neck, it felt like the time I had injured it in France, but it wasn't, obviously.
In clown school.
Yeah, in clown school. And it was so interesting, the correlation. So I wanted to make sure that I was good for the recording. So I was doing some stretches to make sure I was like good.
Now, let me say, we've talked about this a million times, so I'm sorry to listeners, but I just have to say, every single time you say the two words, clown school, I think of like 1,000 jokes. Like those two words shouldn't go together, A. B.
Well, you know what's funny about clown school? You have to apply to get in.
I know, that's
like,
okay.
Like there's an application
I'm saying
process.
There's like 1,000
funny
things.
Can you imagine being rejected from clown school?
We
got
looked over your application and it says you just
we regret to inform you that the competition was stiff this year, but we regret to inform you that we cannot accept you.
No, the competition. They're like, no, it's really funny. The competition was really...
This is very serious, funny business. We take this very seriously.
And the other thing about clown school, every single time you say the words clown school or we say it, I think everybody thinks of just a classroom full of people dressed as clowns with red noses and big wigs and like a tie that shoots water, you know,
well,
like whatever.
In Europe, they don't like to get your red nose is an honor. So you have to like work your way up to the red nose.
Well, just go to the bar. There's tons of people with the red noses there.
Oh my gosh, that's actually a medical condition. You're talking about, it's called rhinophyma.
Oh.
When you have a red bulbous
rhino
nose.
Rhino,
which is nose, and phyma means, I think, bulbous.
But you know who is funny naturally and doesn't need to go to clown school?
Oh my gosh, I know. Our guest today, Roy Wood Jr. Holy crap.
I know, he's super, super funny. I can't wait to talk to him.
I cannot wait.
But before we get to Roy Wood, the brilliant Roy Wood Jr., our caller today is here. Her name is Laura. She experienced something she calls rock salt knee. Those talk about words that shouldn't go together.
And I'm pretty sure that's not the real medical term. Yeah.
No, we're so interested to hear a story about the knee tumor she had. So let's talk to Laura.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Well, hello, Laura, with the cute hair.
Hi, guys.
I love your shirt. Are those little dogs or horses?
Horses.
Those are horses. Oh, I love it.
This is my, some people get this reference. This is my horses shirt from Meg Ryan and Sleepless in Seattle, when she sings along. She's like, horses, horses, horses.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, that, love it. That's great.
Fantastic. I don't have horses, but I do. I have a vintage Jaws t-shirt on from the movie Jaws.
Oh, nice. I should have gotten dressed up too, movie themed.
Laura, what part of the country are you calling from?
I'm in Durham, North Carolina right now.
Oh, okay. Fancy.
Nice.
I've never been, but I hear it's nice.
It's so hot. I just moved back from Sacramento like a year ago.
And, really?
Yes. And I miss the dry weather. Like, I listen to Smartless too, of course. And
thank you.
I think Jason was asking you or something about being in New York and was it humid? And I screamed at my phone, it's disgusting.
Wait, but why Sacramento? Why Sacramento? And then you said back to North Carolina. Is that where you're originally from?
I'm from North Carolina, and I sort of felt like I had squeezed all the life out of North Carolina. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And I was like 40, 41, and I was like, I'm getting out of here. And my best friends are actually physicians at UC Davis, and they were like, come move here. And I was like, okay. So I'm a writer, editor. And I was working for Southwest Airlines magazine, and they were like, we don't care where you live.
Oh, I love Southwest Airlines magazine. It is such a great magazine.
So wait, what the hell is
you
this?
Had it's a thing salt. Happen.
It's a salt knee. What the hell is a salt knee?
No. Let's just start at the beginning. Yeah. What happened?
So I always had like kind of a janky knee, and I was like, whatever. But I started playing roller derby in 2010.
Uh-huh,
and I was early 30s, so I was like, this is fine, and this is totally a great decision. And you know, you wear elbow pads, knee pads, or skirts, whatever, but also fall a lot on concrete and you get knocked into, and everything.
It's not like you didn't know that when you started,
right? It's fine, usually it's fine, it's like whatever. But I just had like a I don't remember if it was a practice or like actually a bout, but I had like and my right knee was kind of like, and it had been bothering me. Like when I fell, it felt like I was falling on like grits or rice or something. You know what I mean? Like,
how crazy. And how old were you when you first like started noticing something was going on?
Probably like early 30s when that kind of thing started being like, and then of course falling on your knee all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Exacerbates that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Probably.
So I was like, all right, whatever. I'll go to the ortho. And Dr. Wally, I'm sure you know, orthopedic surgeons don't tend to have the best senses of humor.
God, I know. I dated one for years. Biggest waste of time.
Oh, what a bag of bones.
Real serious about everything. And
real boneheads, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I got like knee cancer or something. And he was like, well, you may have some kind of formation that could be every kind. And I was like, so just can you fix it?
Yeah.
He was like, well, you're crazy and you play this dumb sport, so...
Right.
Not exactly.
He literally said that.
He was, basically, every doctor I've ever been to who knew that I played roller derby was like, you're crazy.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And they're all cyclists and stuff. And I'm like, well, you're in traffic, so...
Yeah. But,
they also went to med school, so it's literally the kettle calling the teapot black. But anyways. Yeah.
But anyway, so he was like, well, you know, you play this sport, this contact sport, so you probably have a torn meniscus or something like that.
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
What we'll do is we'll just go in there and just snip, snip, fix it.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, that's cool. He didn't want to do an MRI or anything. He felt like that
was
not really necessary. Yeah. Straight to arthroscopy.
Wow. Without an MRI. That's really interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And it's actually in the notes.
What's arthroscopy?
Arthroscopy. Thank you for the question. It's basically a way of looking inside the knee. Arthro, which is a Greek word for joint. And scopy comes from the Greek word scopio, which is to see. So you're trying to peer into the joint.
See into the
maybe
joint.
Take a sample. Arthroscopy.
Oh, yeah. I saw a joint when I wanted a sample of. Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So he was like, all right, well, we'll do this. I was like, sure, fine. So I go in, have the knee surgery. At the same time, I actually had bruised sesamoid bones in my foot.
Okay. Because of the roller derby. Okay.
What the hell is that? What are those like,
there's
warts?
A bunch of different bones like in your foot. No. It's like actual bones. And basically there are bones in your feet. This is a simple word. Yeah.
But they float. They're like little floating bones.
There's a couple of those in the foot. So anyways,
okay.
This becomes relevant, I promise. So I have the knee surgery and he'd been like, well, we'll just go ahead and give you a shot in your foot for the sesamoid bones. And that'll take care of that. I'm like, okay, sure.
So the theory was that the shot in the foot was going to treat the knee pain.
No, no. It was going to treat the sesamoid bones in my feet.
Oh, okay.
But because it's a painful shot, they were like, two birds, we'll do this while you're under for knee surgery.
Oh,
because they
okay.
go in between oh, I your, see. Got sorry, it, got Sean, it. They go in between your toes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
my God. Blah, 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 wow.
And, yeah.
Oh.
And I was like, okay. So they did that. They go in. The first thing I said when I woke up from anesthesia was, what did they do to my foot?
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My knee felt fine. My knee was mm-hmm. great. I could have walked mm-hmm. on my knee. My foot was throbbing for days.
Mm, bummer.
The doctor talked to me afterwards and he was like, well, this is interesting because uh-huh. I've been doing this for 18 years and I've never seen this.
Uh-huh.
It's like, okay. So when we went in there, you know, there was a little bit of a meniscus tear, whatever, we kind of chopped that off. But then there was a hardened like growth in there and it's a giant cell tumor of the tendon sheath. And part yeah. of it was like, had like crystallized kind of and was hard. Wow. And so uh-huh. they had to blast it and chop it up and
yeah.
vacuum it out.
Were they cancerous?
So it's benign, but it's a tumor, benign,
okay.
but it's benign and it's very slow growing. It's not like aggressive.
And do we know what causes it?
It's related to inflammation, but we don't have a clear idea of what causes it.
I mean, it's so wild to hear you yeah. had tumors in your kneecap,
yeah,
like in your knees. It must be so rare.
Yeah, it's extremely rare. It's mostly in the fingers. That's the other thing.
Right.
Giant cell tumor of the tendon sheath. It's usually in the fingers. To find it in the knee is extremely rare.
Right. And that was, well, the doctor was kind of like, describe your pain, you know, and stuff beforehand. And I was like, well, it feels like I'm falling on little rocks or something. And he was like, uh-huh. That's not really a thing. Like I've never heard that description. That doesn't make sense, basically.
Okay. That is such an interesting experience that you're describing yeah. because I talk about this all the time on the show that doctors, we need to honor people's experiences, mm-hmm. like whatever, you know, uh-huh. your body better than any one of us that studied the book. So all you were doing was describing your emotional experience in a way right. that made sense to you. And because the doctor wasn't familiar with the diagnosis, the default was to invalidate your experience.
Yeah, he was like, that's weird. He's like, that's not really what it would feel like. And that's when he was kind of like, well, we'll see if anything else is going on. When
yeah, that's
oh my God.
So interesting.
Wait,
yeah.
so is that, could you hear the sound of the crunching like when you walked or anything?
I mean, I've always had poppy knees.
Yeah,
yeah, me too.
That's called crepitus. Yeah, crepitus is the medical term for like a crackle pop type sound when you move your knees.
Yeah, every time I get out of bed to go pee or something at night, it's like crack, crack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was like, is that it? He was like, no. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But he was like, well, that was the damnedest thing. I've never seen it before. And
yeah.
he's like, so now it makes sense what yeah. you were telling me
yeah,
about
yes, of course.
The pain. And he was right. like, never seen this. This is, you know, really interesting. And I have pictures and I can't find them.
Oh, but that's okay. Just pour a bowl of grape nuts, listen to right. the crunch. We get the idea. Yeah.
Because I was like, what? Basically, he's like, so you sort of had little pieces of rock salt in this
yeah.
tumor behind your
rock
knee.
Salt.
And you have, he was like, you have a freakishly high pain tolerance.
Yeah.
If you were falling yeah. on your knee. And I was like,
yeah.
Huh, okay.
So specifically, wow. giant cell tumor of the tendon sheath is this tumor of this tissue. It's called synovial tissue. So in your joint, there's actually a capsule that's made up of a band of fibrous connective tissue, and it kind of forms this sleeve around your joint or sort of like shrink wraps your joint with connective tissue.
Yeah.
On the inner lining of that connective tissue is the synovium, and that's what's producing the giant cell tumors. And giant cells are these cells that are in our body pertaining to inflammation. And just like their name says, they're giant compared to other cells in the body, and they have many yeah. nuclei.
I just have to say, Synovio sounds like a house from House of Dragons or whatever it's
I
called.
Know.
Game
well,
of Thrones.
You know what? The word synovial was actually made up by this Swiss physician in the 1500s, Paracelsus. It's a
How
Latin
do you know
based
so much?
Word.
You're crazy, yeah. lady. You know so much. It's crazy.
I love it. Wait. I love it. I'm such a nerd. I'm like, can we just talk for like 4 hours about this kind of stuff?
Yeah. I wish, but we have to get to our guest, Laura.
Yes.
You are so great. Thank you for sharing your
Thank
story.
You
That's
so
fascinating.
Much.
I'm so glad. And they just vacuumed it up and sucked all that stuff out of there, your knee, and you're fine.
I'm totally fine. I'm sitting here with my, you know,
happy
feet
ending.
All crazy and. Yeah, it's all good.
I love that.
Thank you, Laura, for telling us about this very, very rare benign tumor.
Laura, thanks for being here with us today.
Love you guys. Love the podcast.
Thanks.
Thanks, honey. That was great.
Yeah, that is really great and really rare. And Sean, I don't know about you, but I love these stories, right?
I do too. I think it's fascinating that she had these tumors in her knees, but like, and I always ask you the same question, like, how does this happen? Like, because so I can avoid it, right? But tumors happen for no reason on all parts of the body.
We don't quite understand.
Isn't
that folks,
wild?
We love hearing your stories. The number to leave us a message is 1-323-529-6031. Please keep sharing your stories with us.
We love to hear from you. Let's get to our guest.
Hypochondriacs supported by Indeed. When it comes to hiring, you need to trust your gut. But what if you could give your gut some help? When you want to find top talent fast, you need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. You know, something I really love about Indeed is one of their features called their Instant Match feature. As soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your exact job description, and then you can invite them to apply right away. Indeed does the hard work for you. Sponsor a job and boom, Instant Match shows you candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description immediately after you post. With Instant Match, you can start hiring fast. Indeed knows that you're doing everything for your company. You can't afford to overspend on hiring. Visit Indeed.com/actor to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/actor. Indeed.com/actor. Terms and conditions apply. Cost per application pricing not available for everyone. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We are supported by First Person. We all want to turn back the clock, right? For some, it's for vanity. Others, just to relive those glory days. For me, I would love to wake up every morning with zero brain fog, a clear mind, and be as energized as I was when I was younger. But thanks to First Person, I can take a more active role in my brain's overall health. First Person supplements made with functional mushrooms aim to stimulate the body's natural production of specific neurotransmitters that trigger activities like energy, mood, and sleep. For me, I struggle with insomnia. So for me, the moonlight supplements that First Person has helps me get that restorative sleep. Now I wake up clear-minded, well-rested. It's pretty great. Start improving your brain health and cognition with First Person. Get 15% off your first order by going to getfirstperson.com and use code HYPO. That's GETFIRSTPERSON.com, code HYPO, for 15% off your first order. Getfirstperson.com, code HYPO. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Oh, look at him go. Our guest today is a correspondent on The Daily Show's best fucking news team. He is a comedian, actor, producer, podcaster, writer. His recent film, Confess Fletch, is out now. It's the hilarious Roy Wood Jr., who we love. We love and are huge fans over
Thank
here.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Look show. We're so happy to have you.
Am I the first person on your show with a medical problem in progress while they are your show?
Oh, no. We have had people who were, like, waiting for biopsy results. Like, yeah.
No, but not like this. Not like in pain. Are you
no,
in pain?
I am.
Oh, are you actually? Are you no. in pain right now? Oh, okay.
I'm not in pain. This is strip club throat. Voice. Strip club voice. I should say voice.
That you work at or that you're a patron of?
A little. I somehow, through a weird turn of events, ended up at a strip club the night before we recorded this. And here we are. And
oh my gosh. I love.
Do you feel comfortable sharing where the strip club was? What?
It was in Honolulu with T-Pain. And I can only say that because he tweeted that.
Okay.
I didn't tweet. I'm sorry. That's my mama. She ain't talking about nothing. Yes, it was. I was in Hawaii. T-Pain was doing a show through a weird turn of events. Also, he and I are good friends.
Okay.
And I wanted to go back to the hotel. I said, hey, man, I have to rest my voice. Something is going wrong. And as a performer, I need to, oh, man, come on, forget that, man.
I love both characters. I love this character we're talking to now and the other one.
Well, here's the thing. With any throat issue, you always want to ask for contact tracing. So does T-Pain also have strip club throat as well?
I reached out to his wife and two people in his camp.
Yeah.
Now,
okay.
I've done two PCRs since all of this, and fine so far, as they say.
Okay,
but
great.
No, there's a very interesting clip that I think your listeners would enjoy. I forgot to even mention it to your producers. I lost my voice the night before a huge gig. Now, Sean, you know that these corporate gigs, you know what they pay.
You gotta be on.
So if you Google Roy Wood Jr. C-SPAN, there's a video of me speaking at the press correspondents dinner thing, like whatever the minor league version is of the thing that makes all the presidents angry when comics do all the jokes.
Yeah. The White House correspondents. Yeah.
My voice that is thing. Holding on for dear life. That really? Entire thing. I have no voice the entire day before that video clip. Mm-hmm. And I talked to Trevor Noah. I talked to Ruben Studdard. And yeah. Rube knows Clay Aiken, who knows all these Broadway people.
That's
and
me.
Apparently, there's a voice dude.
Yes.
Yeah. And everyone goes to the voice.
I know
dude.
All of
yeah,
them.
Everyone knows the voice, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not know of this secret underground world.
I'm fascinated by the voice because you do need your voice. You're a stand up, you work all the time, mm-hmm. you're in everything. Yeah.
Your voice is your instrument. Yeah.
My father, I come from a family of radio and television journalists. And the only thing my father and my mother argued about was if my mother left the ceiling fan on at night, because in the morning it would ruin his voice. It was too much dry air.
Yeah, it would yeah. dry.
And I understand now.
Yeah.
And so I go to Kessler, and on his wall in his office, like, this is a guy that you can't Google him. He ain't on ZocDoc. There's pictures of every relevant, every voice that you can imagine that has done a voice on in any medium.
Yeah, that's right.
Their headshot is autographed on as well.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
He gives me a regimen of some stuff to spray in the back of my throat, a couple pills and some sort of steroid thing, and some odd tea. And he goes, what time does the event start? I go, 8:00. What time are you on stage? I say, 8:14. He goes, okay. At 7:53, take one pill.
Oh,
at
wow.
8:02, take the second pill, sip the tea, two sprays. You'll have exactly 15, it's like Cinderella. You have 15 minutes of vocal capabilities. And he was right. Like, this dude knew it down to some Mr. Miyagi Karate Kid.
Wait, so this is fascinating. So now do you see somebody regularly? Do you take care of your voice in a new way that you'd never had before? Are you more conscious of it?
That event changed my life. And now, mind you, Trevor Noah, for whatever reason, does The Daily Show and then still does 15,000-seat arena tours.
Yeah.
So I've watched the way he moved at work during the day. Like, the thing that Trevor does that I now start doing, he, by intention, speaks softly.
Oh, wow.
Until rehearsal. And then at rehearsal, he picks up his vocal, is it intonation, your volume, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more conscious of that. Since the C-SPAN thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this was just straight up unadulterated screaming and yelling over loud club music. And I haven't done that in years. My throat doesn't have the stamina. I'm 43. I ain't 23. So this scares me less.
Yeah. Question about the White House correspondence type dinner. Do you have any idea why you lost your voice that time?
Cubs, Dodgers, Wrigley Field, National League playoffs were 3 days before. And
strip club.
It was 47 degrees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, there you go.
And I was screaming and yelling.
Not to get too into the weeds about it, though, but now do you understand? Because when I did my first Broadway show, it really kind of clicked for me. I didn't understand how placement of where you put your... Like, if you talk up here in your nose, it's much more safer than talking down here when you're, just kind of relaxing in the back of your throat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know if you're now aware of where you place your words.
A little bit more. And so I know at some point I have to get like a full vocal coach, but to get a vocal coach, you kind of need a breathing coach as well. Like, you have to get all of these pieces in place.
Yeah.
And it was that 2018 C-SPAN incident was 1,000%. Oh my God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What would I do tomorrow?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, after the C-SPAN thing, when the clock struck midnight, my voice was gone for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
And watch any clip of me, then watch that C-SPAN. And
I really am going to Google this. It's C-SPAN.
Yeah.
I'm writing this
down. Wow.
Wait,
is that an interesting story?
Let's get into the thing that you said you're suffering from now, which is, by the way, thank you for being here. We didn't even talk about, like, I want to talk about Fletch. And, like, I just saw John Hamm 2 nights ago at dinner at a friend's house. He's so great. Wasn't that so fun working with him? You two together, it's going to be a hit movie.
He was great. Yeah. He was great, man. He really was. And also, I have to give a shout out to Greg Mottola, our director, who intentionally created something that was totally different from what was done in the 80s with Fletch. Because I think when you hear, oh, they're remaking, or oh, they're doing a sequel, or they're doing the book again, you automatically think tonally that it's going to be 80s as well. There's nothing that's been remade from the 80s that's still bar for bar what they did in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is no different. And John brings his own flavor to it. And
I love that.
I'm just happy they cast me because the cop in the book is Irish. And they called me in the audition. I was like, are you sure?
Well, I'm what the I'm what they called Black Irish. So we're kind of, we have that in common. Yeah, but wait, so, because I'm dark hair, whatever. But so talk to me about the pain you're in now with hamstring. Is that what you're talking about, your hamstring?
I've done, there's so much we could talk about. We could talk about.
Oh, I love it. I love all of it.
Yeah.
We could talk about pre-diabetes. We could talk about the time I pulled my hamstring playing softball because I thought I was an athlete. Guys, I think what you all are realizing is just I'm a man who doesn't know his body's limitations.
Okay. By the way, same.
And I just continue to challenge my body.
I love it. Yeah. Wait, so what happened in the hamstring? What happened?
Yeah.
So the Comedy Store, this is when I was still living in Los Angeles, and the Comedy Store had a softball league.
Yeah.
And
how long ago was this?
This is 2010.
Okay.
2010. I moved to LA in 07, and it was a while before I got in with the comics. Softball was, it was the closest thing to golf that I knew how to play. Mm-hmm. Because you play other shows, you play other you play other industry types in the softball league. So, okay, this is how I'll meet people or whatever. Mm-hmm. And second game, I don't stretch. I don't warm up. It's softball.
Yeah,
you're drinking beer. I did nothing that I should have done when I played baseball in high school.
Yeah.
And I thought that I could stretch a single into a double. And somewhere rounding first, my right hamstring, it didn't hurt. It just felt like a little thump.
Uh-huh.
Just a little flick.
A little thumper.
And then a burning red sensation shot up my leg.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I was tagged out in the middle of the field. Here's insult to injury.
Mm-hmm.
We only had 9 people in a 10-person league, so I couldn't go home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
That's wild.
You could.
Or else we forfeit.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, but remember, you want to make all those cool industry connections.
Right.
You don't want to be the guy that's fucked, huh?
Put your needs aside.
So I played catcher the rest of the game with one good leg. And then for the next 2 weeks, I went and iced it down and I didn't know what to do. And even if I knew what to do, I didn't know how to pay for it. I was a stand up comic that was working the road. I didn't have the healthcare situation.
Yeah.
Really quick sidebar, because I know that about you too. You did your first stand up gig, I think, when you're 19 years old or something. And I want to get back to the medical stuff because that's what this podcast is about. But where do you get confidence at 19 years old to get up on stage? Where do you get that from? Where do you go, you know what? Not only can I do that, I'm going to do that. Because your resume is so impressive. Your life is so, but your career is so impressive. You have all of these things going. I was like, God, this guy's incredible. Where do you get that from?
My origin story is a little different in terms of how I got on stage because I got arrested a couple of months before that. And so a couple of friends of mine and I, we were stealing clothes from Dillard's and just general shoplifting and credit card stuff.
Sure.
And we ended up getting probation, as we should have. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I thought I was going to go to prison. And so because of that, I just figured I'll try everything I've ever wanted to do. Comedy had been at my heart since I was 14.
Wow.
But when you start in Birmingham, living in Birmingham, I didn't even know there was a comedy club. The white side of town was literally a place you went for holiday shopping.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And Pizza Hut if you won the game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the concept of a comedy club being a place and being a thing, it just seemed like another universe. When I got to college and I got arrested and I thought I was going to prison, I was like, okay, well, let me check some things off the list before I go to prison. At the time, the number one show on HBO was Oz.
Oh, yeah.
So my idea of prison was pretty extreme. Yeah. So I was like, just let me do it. And I started doing it. I got on probation. I've been doing stand-up ever since.
It's kind of like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if it was going to be that bad and I can face the fear of getting on stage since I faced the fear of the possibility of going, you know, ending up.
Correct. I have thrown my life away. Nothing else matters. There's nothing that these strangers can say to me on stage that will make me feel worse.
Right.
You can't harm me.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. And then you develop this resilience towards performing that, you know, whether you bomb or not, it's irrelevant. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I'm going to prison in 4 months.
Right.
You look up one day and you're good or you're better. You're good enough to keep going.
Yeah. I love that. Wow. So, Priyanka, really go ahead with you. You had a question about the.
Okay. So, wait, had you had any prior hamstring injuries prior to what happened in LA? Okay. So, this was the first time. Okay.
Unprecedented.
Yeah, that's really interesting because there's a lot of risk factors that can predispose someone to getting a hamstring injury. The top one is not warming up adequately, and it doesn't, you totally named that. And the other thing is if you've had a previous hamstring injury, generally, if anyone has any kind of like muscle fatigue issues, that can predispose hamstring injuries as well. But it sounds like you were fairly active leading up to this injury, right?
Yeah, I mean, we played twice a week, so I was a regular, but I did not warm up that day and also probably didn't hydrate properly, which is also a factor.
See, so now, but this is like a theme now of this episode with Roy is like warming up your throat, warming up your body, warming up your muscles, right? You can't just like get out of bed and go.
Person,
you gotta like, right? The older you get, you gotta like grease the wheels. You gotta do it all.
I'm learning.
Right?
I'm finally learning.
Now, when you got this evaluated, what happened? Did you go to your doctor? What happened? You know, like, how did you get this treated? How did you manage this?
With the hamstring?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't go nowhere. I just
WebMD'd
that thing, and it said, don't walk on it, keep it iced. And that's what I did for 3 weeks. And I just functioned with I was left leg dominant.
So wait, so since then, like it's never come back or anything? You're fine?
No, it's never come back. But then I also play softball less gingerly, less aggressive.
Yeah, because once you have a pulled hamstring, your risk of having a pulled hamstring in the future, it goes up. There's different grades in terms of the severity of the injury. Were you having loss of strength? Or was it just discomfort, pain, discomfort?
No, it was for sure loss of strength. By my WebMD diagnosis, I was going to say a grade 2. It definitely wasn't day to day, but it for sure wasn't grade 3 or damn near torn or something wild.
Right.
It was significant pain.
So instead of running to first, you kind of just strut to first.
Absolutely. If I hit a single, I trot like it's a home run. Yeah. I'm not running.
Yeah, right.
And I live in New York now, and these leagues in New York are way more competitive. People are sliding and diving. I've seen a dislocated shoulder at the park in Hell's Kitchen. And I'm like, for what, bro?
Yeah.
Why? There isn't even a trophy. We don't even have uniforms.
Yeah. We see you. You're great. Yeah, and we don't have to prove it. Yeah, I love that.
One follow-up question. The hamstring muscle is involved in when you're walking or running. The hamstrings contract, and that's what gets you to stop. It's a deceleration muscle. Do you remember the movement you were doing when you first noticed that warm sensation?
I'm guessing he hit first and then turned to go to second, and that's when it happened.
Right.
I felt the pop on the plant. This is when I was rounding first. So as you're coming around first base and you look up to clock the ball and outfit.
Right.
So I plant on my right foot and I feel the pop as I push off.
Yeah.
And then I felt the burn on the next step as I'm planting the right foot again.
Yeah.
God, that'd be painful.
To get ready to push off again. So as I'm getting, I feel the pop on the first push. The second time the foot goes down, I get ready to push again. It's like, no.
Yeah.
And then I just immediately pull up and just start doing the little limping, pulling up ginger.
Yeah.
You finished the game?
I had no choice because I wanted to be the friend. Now, this is, let me also say, I am now legend in the Comedy Store softball team because of this.
Yeah,
because
I'm sure.
Sacrifice.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Totally.
I should have gone home.
That's really interesting. Yeah, that you didn't go home. Yeah.
You might be legend today because we're going to play a game right now.
It's called Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame. You're each going to get 3 questions. And if you don't know the answer, take a guess because I do give points for creativity.
Okay.
Sean, you are up first with the first question.
Okay, here we go.
So, Sean, what is the common name of the medical disease bovine spongiform encephalopathy? What is it more commonly called? Bovine spongiform encephalopathy.
Well, come on. What are they? What are their diseases or something?
Yeah, it's the common name of this disease.
Well, bovine. You said that before. What is bovine? I don't know. I'm never going to get that.
I'll give you a hint. Moo, boo.
Oh, it's mad cow disease.
That's correct. The answer is mad cow disease. And, bovine is the word for cow. Spongiform encephalopathy is a type of brain disease. So this is mad cow disease.
Roy, okay. I get all the hard ones. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, second question for Sean. What is the name of the fictional town where Stranger Things is set?
Oh, that would be... That would be... Hoffman or no?
You're close. That's close.
It's I know it. What is it?
It's Hawkins.
Hawkins. Yeah.
You were close. You got a in there, but you didn't get the ending. So I'll give you a half point.
Okay, half point.
Third question. In 2014, animated TV special How Murray Saved Christmas.
Yes.
What was the name of your elf character?
No idea.
Oh, really? No guess?
No. Elf.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Murray or Maury? Murray?
No, Edison Elf. Elf. Okay, so you got,
I'd half
say
of a point.
1.5 points. Okay, Roy, your first
not
question.
Bad,
okay. If you fracture a metacarpal bone, which part of the body did you injure?
Well,
metacarpal.
That's
hand.
Very good. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Phalanges is feet, right?
So phalanges is any kind of digit.
Carpal is wrist, carpal, metacarpal. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, look at you go.
Yeah, very That's good. So metacarpal bone, these are your fingers, which is part of the hand. So I will give
I
you
I dated
this.
A girl that was in pharmacy school and I helped her with a midterm class
are you
back
serious?
In 1997.
Oh, that's
good.
And it's
the reason I know this because I was trying to date somebody.
That is hysterical. That's hysterical.
Okay, second question. What beloved Klondike treat was discontinued in July of this year?
What? What? Wait, what?
That's an easy one. The Choco Taco.
That is correct.
Wait,
that
how would you know that?
Because I celebrated its demise. Good riddance. Apparently, there is a underground legion of Choco Taco enthusiasts who are not playing around.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. I would not know that.
Third question. In the 2019 movie, The Death of Dick Long, you played the ER doctor, Dr. Richter, who informs the police that Dick Long has died. What was the cause of Dick Long's death?
This is a classy podcast.
Yes.
So,
is it?
It doesn't have to be
equine,
for this next question.
His cause of death was equine rectal contusions.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh my God. I'm giving you a bonus point for that. Yeah. He died of severe rectal hemorrhaging. Yeah. He was bleeding out of his ass, basically. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God. Even if Roy didn't win the game, he won with that answer. So that's.
You are in Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame.
Roy Wood Jr.
Yes.
Bravo. You win. You're always the winner. We love you. We're huge fans. Guys, listen to his podcast, Roy's Job Fair. It's really, really, really great. Roy, you're the best.
Thank
we love
you so
you.
Thank
much
you
for, being
for
here.
Sharing your
Thank
story.
Thank you all. Appreciate it. Next time I'll have my voice, I promise. I'm going to stop abusing myself.
Okay, good, good, good. Thanks, pal.
Love it. Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
How great is he?
That was great. Yeah.
He's so unbelievably smart and fast and like quick, like, you know, more than most people in this business.
Yeah. And what an amazing comedy start story.
I know.
I've heard a lot of stories about why people started doing comedy and yeah, that one was really profound. So I appreciated that. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think he's fantastic. I love him.
I know. Yeah. And you know who else? You are also fantastic. And Laura, our caller today, is fantastic.
And you are fantastic, Priyanka.
Yes. And our listeners are fantastic.
And our listeners are the best of all of those people we just listed. Thanks again for listening today. We really appreciate it. Until next time, don't worry. Be healthy. Bye.
Bye.
Hypochondriactor is a Hazy Mills production hosted by me, Sean Hayes, and Dr. Priyanka Wally. Rebecca Eisenberg and Todd Milliner are our executive producers. Production and editing is by Rabbit Grin Productions. Original music by Scott Eisenogle and Lior Rosner. This is a Hazy Mills production. All content discussed on Hypochondriactor are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Please consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.